For someone who came of age in the year that saw both Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy taken from us by gunmen, this week's bloody massacre in Arizona brought back painful memories. Sure, it has become obvious by now that Arizona's gunslinger was more mentally ill than politically motivated, an emerging reality that has left some of those instant pundit assumptions that drew direct lines between Sarah Palin's enthusiasm for politicized weapons imagery and the killings quickly backtracking. But regardless of what really happened in Arizona, it remains true that turning political debates into theaters of combat rhetoric always has the potential to inflame passions to the firing point. But if Arizona's murders were not directly linked to Palin's Tea Party-style gun rhetoric, we can't delude ourselves into thinking it was completely divorced either, because heated politics often does become implemented policy. In Arizona's case, a set of state policies that made it easier to get a gun into the obviously disturbed Mr. Loeffner's hands than to get him into treatment for his mental health problems that were obvious enough to get him expelled from college. Yes, an ideology become policy that has emerged from a political mindset Americans deeply need to reevaluate. All of which brings us to the core issue of just how do we move more successfully into this new decade. And one of the more intriguing hints of all this came with word that President Obama has started his year reading a biography of former President Ronald Reagan. Well, let me just say that as a native Californian who grew up during Reagan's governorship, I hope that President Obama draws the right conclusion about Mr. Reagan's legacy. Sure, as an American in the 1980s, I listened to Reagan's rhetoric about how government was not the solution, but the problem, and his nurturing of the idea that paying our supposedly evil government taxes for anything other than bazookas to hold off the commies was somehow theft. Useful political rhetoric, perhaps, for someone focused on the struggle with totalitarian communism. But earlier still, as a college student in the late 1960s in California, I saw what that really meant as then-Governor Reagan closed down many of the state mental hospitals, putting clearly unstable patients into the streets of California's inner cities, warehousing them in derelict hotels. Even a former murderer I knew personally through my mom's work at the local psychiatric hospital in San Jose. No, clearly, sure, there may not be a direct link between Mr. Loeffner and all this gun image political rhetoric, but the crisis just as clearly emerged out of America's inability to get past this deadly battle over the role of government in a free society. And those of us who can't recognize the importance of governments taking on those services the private sector can't make a profit on, and understanding that it is only governments that can put in place the support systems necessary to ensure that people with physical and, yes, mental health problems can get the help they need, whether it makes financial sense for a profit-based health insurance company or not to provide it. Services we need to pay for with taxes. Something we long ago recognized with the creation of Medicare, despite Governor Reagan's early opposition to President Johnson's great accomplishment. Opposition, perhaps, because programs like Social Security and Medicare messed up Reagan's ideology-driven simplification about government simply being the problem, which calls, as the Arizona shootings do, for a broader rethinking of just how Americans reflect on the relationship between the American people and their government, on the question of whether we as a people want it easier for the Loeffners of America to get guns than treatment, something perhaps President Obama is currently reflecting as he takes on the supposed great communicator Ronald Reagan's often debilitating legacy.